Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, tens of thousands of Aer Lingus customers could face disruption this summer after pilots at the company once again voted overwhelmingly in favour of strike action. And the battle of nerves between the airline and the pilots' association, IALPA, further escalated on Morning Ireland a little earlier when the Chief Corporate Affairs Officer for Aer Lingus, Donal Moriarty, said the pay increase being sought is untenable and simply will not happen. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Mark Tighe now of IALPA. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
So your response to Aer Lingus this morning, Donal Moriarty saying your pay claim is exorbitant and flatly announcing that it won't happen. What do you say?
Well, we've partook in this process of negotiations for 22 months now in good faith to seek an inflationary rise. As time passes along the way, more inflation arrives on top of it. As we've repeatedly said before, most people, not everybody, but most people in Ireland have actually gotten inflation, but done properly in 1s, 2s and 3% over the period of time we're talking about. And in fact, within our group of IAG governing the airlines, British Airways is one of those airlines, IAG already sanctioned 24% increase for their pilots over the time period we're talking about. We're just looking for
inflation. Here, and let's talk about Aer Lingus, because Donal Moriarty said that all other groups in that company, all other workers have accepted 12.25%, but pilots are holding out for almost 24%. Is that right?
They did. That's correct. And
so what's so special about the pilots that you want double that?
Well, we made our claim based on inflation. I'm not privy to what the discussions were with our staff members, but certainly our one was a reasonable base claim that we need to be able to buy what we could buy in 2019. I think everybody within should have an ability to do that.
He said the average salary of an Aer Lingus pilot is €200,000. Is that right?
Well, it's very hard, Claire, to pick an average salary because of the length of the career, when you join, what age you join, when you retire. Not everybody gets to retirement age. They may lose their medical license along the way. But the reality is a brand new pilot starts on a minimum pay of approximately 36,000.
That's a cadet pilot pay, but the starting salary as a qualified pilot is 60,000, isn't it?
No, that's not correct. It's 47,000. And that's somebody who has experience in another airline and chooses to come to Aer Lingus. And that person may well have be taking a pay cut to come to work for Aer Lingus if that's their decision, because that's where they start. And not only that, these people who come and join our airline, and we're very happy to have them, they could be coming with debts in the region of €100,000 to €150,000, where they financed their training to become pilots in the first place.
Okay, so the starting salary, Donal Moriarty said, for cadet pilots is 36,000, and then the starting salary for a co-pilot is 60,000. Can we just clarify if that's right or not? Because you mentioned another figure in the 40s there.
47,000 is the guaranteed pay for someone who comes in from another airline.
And it increases then incrementally after that.
Yeah, so a pilot joins, worldwide pilots, when they join an airline, normally they're joining with a commitment to stay for their whole careers. Our pay structure reflects that. So it takes 26 years plus passing a grueling set of assessments and checks, both in the air and on the ground, to attain the rank of captain for a pilot to be able to get anywhere near the figures that he's talking about.
Can I go back to what you thought when you heard Donal Moriarty saying your pay claim is exorbitant, untenable, and it won't happen?
Yeah, well, like I said early, at the beginning of the interview, within our group, our operating margin is the same as BA's. BA is actually 0.1%.
But that's as may be
higher.
It. But he's saying you're not going to get it. What's your response?
I'm not going to get into an overback in that. He's entitled to say what he wants. I think he's wrong.
So this makes the possibility of strike action more likely, given what he said this morning.
The possibility is always there, but like I said, we hope the management come to their senses and acknowledge the reasonability of an inflation pay claim. They should have adjusted our pay like most people's. Gradually, they've ignored it, and as a result, now they're looking at this figure.
The way forward that he mentioned this morning was this visit to the Workplace Relations Commission, IALPA and Aer Lingus to go in there. Your parent union, of course, is Forza, so you won't be a stranger to the Workplace Relations Commission and what can happen there. I mean, he wants to resolve what he calls an unnecessary dispute inflicted on thousands of customers at the peak of the summer. Do you think it's worth it going down that path of the WRC?
What Donald didn't tell you is that we've already gone down that path. And we've been through the WRC, and the company were unable to come to agreement within the facilitated mediation. So that path has been done. The process is complete, and now the pilots are relying upon their legal rights.
That's where you got the over 9% recommendation, is it?
That was the Labour Court, which is a separate process again.
So do you not think that further progress can be made on that offer if you go back to the WRC?
No, I don't believe so. I believe the opportunity was there to come to an agreement within the auspices of the WRC, and that the company didn't avail of that.
Now, do you care about the holiday plans of all of the people who are holding out for a break? I mean, even Michael McGrath said this morning on his way into Cabinet, this is the only opportunity for many people in the summer to get away with their families. Do you care about those people?
Of course I do, Claire. Passengers, they're what we're there for. That's what we do. Taking people away, seeing people walk on boards, you know, happy families, happy kids, people going on business is what we do. And one thing is that's very special is when you see someone coming home who lives abroad, coming home to visit family and friends. I've seen people get emotional as they step onto the airplanes, wherever it is, because they believe they're home. Passengers are extremely important to us. I'm 34 years at this.
But now you have a whole cohort of people hoping to get away, very nervous about what might happen in the coming days. People who are on their holidays, terrified that they won't be able to come back and will have to fork out for extra accommodation. It's putting people in a very difficult position at an important time of the year.
Well, if people are discommoded by the company not coming to their senses, you know, they are entitled to compensation. EU 261 is very clear about that. And the company have asked us to give them 15 days notice, saying that they need time to reroute people. But the reality is, in the high summer, rerouting people is not going to be really physically practical for more than a handful, which will result in the other people not being compensated because they'll have had the EU 261 minimum notice of 14 days.
Which is the rule. Now, Donal Moriarty said this morning that we fulfil all of our compensation obligations. We have no difficulty in refunding, reaccommodating or compensating customers where our compensation is necessary. But you're saying the rules change once you go beyond 14 days notice.
Correct. I firmly believe Donal is what he's saying is correct. They will compensate people who are required to have compensation. But anybody who has 14 days notice from the company will not be due compensation. Mm.
The truth of it is, though, Mark, you want to have this strike at this time of the year to cause maximum disruption, despite what you say about caring about people's holiday plans or their plans to come home and so on.
Claire, I can assure you and everybody listening, I don't want to have a strike. Simple as that. I want the company to come to our senses. But unfortunately, they haven't. And all that is left for the pilots to express their rights is to walk this path that they have walked.
And do you care about the reputational damage that it will do to Aer Lingus if it goes ahead? I mean, we're already hearing that people are moving their flights now in anticipation of this. Does that bother you?
Of course it does. I'm here 34 years. I'll be here till I retire, assuming I can keep my medical licence. And I want everybody, that green airplane is so special, but what the damage that you see being done is being done by management. So you have a look at the top three executives, the CFO, the chief executive and the director of corporate affairs. You know, last year they took home the lion's share of 2.8 million. Their pay and bonuses is based on keeping costs down, which means keeping our pay down.
So you're saying that you want some of what they're getting?
I think it's, we're only looking for inflation. I'd love some of what they're getting, but that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. What about the estimated cost of this? Aer Lingus puts it at 25 million a day. That will do untold. That will do untold damage to the company and perhaps to workers like yourselves and other people who are not pilots, who are on far less than 200 or 60,000 that you've outlined this morning.
But the costs figures I can only accept from them, but like in simple round numbers and easy fractions that I can deal with, pilot payroll is approximately 120 million. They've agreed that already. We're looking at approximately 25%. We're looking at less than 30 million. Aer Lingus made 225 million last year. which is a 400% increase on the recovery on the year before. And they're forecasting, Claire, significant increases in that over the coming years.
Do you expect much public sympathy on this one, Mark?
Well, I would hope that people look at this as if it was themselves and what they, how their employer was treating them. And that's all I can ask of anybody.
But most people aren't on that kind of money, so it's difficult for them to imagine that, I suppose.
I absolutely understand that. And we do earn more than most people, but we are working and competing within an industry. And it'd be like someone in whatever job they do, looking at someone else in a different company doing the same job and looking at what they're earning.
Then the Irish Independence headline says this morning that you could strike as early as next week. Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility, certainly, but I would hope that the company will come to their senses. So already
are you saying if there's no movement here by the company in the next couple of days that the strike is imminent?
Well, we will consider our position, the company. We're always available to meet the company, and we will consider our position as we go. And as soon as we know what exactly is going to happen next, we will inform everybody.
And the notice period will be 7 days, will it?
I can't speak to that. They requested 15 days. They asked us to consider it, and we are considering it.
Will there be a vote on that, or how will it work?
No, that's a matter for the union.
So that's in your gift to decide whether it's 7 or 15 days?
Not me personally, a group of us, but yes.
Okay, and when will we know?
As soon as possible.
But what does that mean? When will you make a decision? Like, could it be a lightning strike? Could it happen tomorrow or over the weekend?
No, there's no lightning strikes. The legal minimum notice is 7 days. The company have asked for 15.
Mm-hmm. But when are you sitting down to make a decision on when the strike action will be announced and when that notice will be given?
We have processes within the union which are ongoing at the moment, literally at the moment. And when they are complete, we'll be in a position to comment on that.
All right, Mark, thank you for your time. That's Mark Tighe there from IALPA. I'm also joined on the line by Michael Doherty, who's Professor of Law at Maynooth University, specialising in employment law and industrial relations. So, Michael, you've been listening there to what Mark had to say from IALPA. Do you think, having heard that strike action will be going ahead?
Morning, Claire. Yeah, it seems likely, to be honest, based not just on what Mark just said there, but based on the earlier comments on Morning Ireland by the company. I suppose the question is, will it be a kind of short, sharp type of action, or will it be something more protracted and disruptive? I think probably at this stage that's the question.
Mm-hmm. But the situation and this gap between them seems intractable now, doesn't it? On the one hand, you have the airline saying that the demand is exorbitant and IALPA holding firm.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose to some extent that's, you know, you never get to the cusp of industrial action unless there's a relatively wide gap. As you say, in this instance, it seems pretty wide, and I think probably more or as damaging as the wide gap is the kind of the narrative. You know, the relations between the parties does not seem to be good at all. The kind of public commentary has been quite definitive on either side, which is never great. And the kind of response of the company, I thought, was strange in questioning the original ballot. I thought that was, I'm not sure what the tactic is there. It seemed to me a kind of an unnecessary provocation, because it's quite clear that there is, you know, majority support for this action within the pilot group.
Okay, this was wanting to see the ballot taken in person as opposed to electronically, which they're entitled to do, but yeah. I see what you're saying. You're questioning what the point of that was. So listen, this way forward that was outlined or suggested by Aer Lingus, that everyone go back into the Workplace Relations Commission. And Mark Tighe says, look, that route has been exhausted. Do you see a way forward there?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, so this is kind of complicated IR stuff, and it goes from institution to institution, and there are a lot of state bodies involved, etc. What the Labour Court, not the WSA, but what the Labour Court did is it kind of issued what it called an interim recommendation, and basically that was that the pilots should get a pay increase, pretty much paid immediately, and then go into further talk and deal with kind of, you know, park some issues, if you like, some more complicated issues, and deal with them subsequently. That has been rejected now by the pilots. And essentially, it's difficult to see what could be improved on that in the WRC. You know, what that was saying is that, you know, put some money on the table, essentially as a kind of a holding measure, and get into talks. And that was rejected. So it's difficult to see just at the moment where you know, okay, what might come out of more talks at WRC.
All right, Michael, thank you very much for your view on that. Linda Jones is with me, the owner of the Travel Boutique in Bray in County Wicklow. Linda's on the line because what does all of this mean for passengers, Linda? I mean, you heard there what Mark Tighe, good morning, had to say about the notice period. How far in advance will people know that their flight has been affected? Would you expect that 7-day period to be the max?
Yeah, they definitely have to give 7 days, but whether we'll get a bit longer, it's hard to know. At this stage, all we can do is sit tight until more information comes out later from their talks and hope that customers get as much notice as possible.
So are people covered then by their travel insurance for this type of cancellation, or how does it work?
Only if you took your travel insurance out well before the 13th of June, which is the day that the strike notice was officially served. And you'd also have to make sure that you have travel disruption cover included in that, or strike action cover. Not all policies would have that, but hopefully some people will be able to make a claim. But if you haven't taken it out yet, you wouldn't have cover for strike action.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned, Linda, to Mark from IALPA, that there may be people who are abroad when this strike is announced and may have difficulty coming back home. Do you have to sort out the accommodation if you're in that situation yourself?
You do. If you've booked with an ITA agent, they will help you. But if you have booked it yourself, you would have to sort that. And it could mean consumers have to fly out a couple of days before their holiday and pay for extra nights, or they may not be able to get home and might have to spend extra money staying on. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, if you try and change your dates within 7 days, most people are in cancellation charges for their accommodation. So it could be quite difficult to move the accommodation to new dates.
Are you seeing that customers are being put off booking with Aer Lingus over the coming weeks and months because of this being in the ether?
Well, it's really only been kind of official since last Friday. So they haven't been, you know, there was no kind of major change up to that. I think now you would have to think twice about booking Aer Lingus if you're travelling in the next few weeks. You would look at an alternative, just so that you're not caught up in the industrial action. But there's a lot of people have booked with Aer Lingus and they're all going to be affected now.
All right, Linda, thank you very much. Linda Jones there, the owner of the Travel Boutique. Back with more after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.